You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and we're going to be talking to Lynn about her daughter Paula's dream shortly. But first of all, I thought I'd like to tell you about Anne. Now, Anne was the dreamer that we talked to in episode 6, and she had a dream where she was sitting on a train with her deceased mother and auntie. And in the dream, she was stabbed in the back. Now, Anne contacted us for a dream interpretation because she was really concerned, because she just turned 48, and that was the age at which her mother had died. So to dream of finding herself on a train, facing her deceased mother, who she hadn't dreamt of for many, many years, at the same age that she was now, she was really concerned. She thought the dream meant that she was dying. And when she was stabbed in the back on the dream, of course, that really added to the feeling she thought that she was a goner. So you can listen to episode 6 and you'll find out that as we interpreted the dream, we brought out a lot of issues, particularly around Anne's work, where she felt she was being stabbed in the back and where she was maybe stabbing herself in the back a little bit, you know, stopping herself from doing things that may have been good for her. Anyway, Anne contacted me by email a few days ago, so this is now about a couple of months down the track, and I'll quote a bit from her email. She said, at the time of the dream interpretation, I was being overlooked for promotions at work and feeling very depressed. I was doing two jobs I didn't really want to do, but felt compelled to stay there out of duty and for financial reasons. My closest friend was in the UK, and I was always promising to visit her, but instead was confined to the jobs. My entire life seemed to be one of duty and not joy. And that's really what we, you know, one of the conclusions we came to in Anne's dream interpretation, that she was stabbing herself in the back in the sense of sticking, you know, to work and other issues in her life out of a sense of duty and not joy. Anyway, I gave Anne a dream alchemy practice during the podcast, and she did this, and this is really what she's reporting on in her email. She said, after the alchemy, I made a booking to visit the UK. My son and I had the best trip ever there in June this year, and when I returned, I resigned from another part-time job and shortly after got a promotion at work, where I'm dealing with clients and doing much more meaningful work. My health also improved, and my energy has doubled. So that's just a little bit of feedback from the kind of turnaround things that can happen in your life when you not only get a dream interpreted, but you do the alchemy practice as well. So thanks, Anne, for that. And if you haven't listened to the original dream, just pop back on the podcast player and have a listen to episode 6. Today, we're welcoming Lynn. Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Now, I understand you sent me an email before and said that your daughter, Paula, who's only 10, is having some very disturbing dreams, and you wanted to share these.
Yes, that's right.
Now, what's been happening?
Well, the dreams are, she's been calling them sex dreams, but I probably would say they're more dreams with a sexual kind of overtone, because she's not actually dreaming about sex itself. She'll say things like, you know, that there'll be, say, a female teacher, for example. Not that she knows them; they're a stranger to her. But it will be that teacher will be picking someone in the class who they were going to have sex with, in inverted commas. Mm. That she would pick my daughter, who would then go to the front of the class, and they would, as she calls it, movie star kiss. And then that would kind of be it, and she would sort of feel terrible about it. And then she said in this particular dream, another woman walked in and the teacher went off with her, and she felt felt awful about the whole thing. She's had a couple of dreams like that where she may be, like they might be voyeuristic type dreams where she's, say, spying on me but I'm asleep. And there will be a man in the room who's not my husband, and she will go away and come back, and each time she goes away and comes back, an article of our clothing will be gone, but there'll be nothing other than I'm sort of asleep in bed and he's standing beside the bed.
Mm.
So it's dreams with a kind of sexual overtone, and she's finding them very distressing because she thinks there's something wrong with her, that she's only 10 and dreaming about these kinds of things, and yeah, it's very worrying for her.
Mm. I have to congratulate you first on the obviously you must have a very close relationship with your daughter. For a 10-year-old to be able to confide dreams like that to her mother is a beautiful thing. And so, you know, it's really good that Paula is doing that, and that will be part of her her progress through this. And it also does mean that if she did actually have any sexual problems from the past, you would certainly know about it, because if she can talk to you about these dreams, she would have talked to you about anything like that. So I'm just adding that for anyone listening that may be saying, oh, you know, maybe something's happened in her past. This kind of daughter would talk about that, so we can certainly clear that issue. How long ago did the dreams start, Lynn? Do you know?
She's probably been having them possibly for about the last 3 weeks, maybe.
Mm. And was there any particular change in her life or any particular challenge 3 weeks ago when they started?
Nothing that that we could kind of pinpoint. I mean, I've listened to some of the things you've said before, and we kind of worked through that, and there was nothing either of us could come up with that was specific.
Yeah, because, you know, for everybody listening in, the dream usually reflects on the last day or two before the dream. So that may be something that we can bring out in the interpretation, but that gives us an idea. And she's 10. Is she quite mature for a 10-year-old?
Yes.
Mm. So she's reached puberty?
Not quite.
Okay.
But she's definitely displaying all the signs that it's not too far away.
Right.
And she's, you know, she's got a very healthy interest in boys and that kind of thing at the moment.
Oh,
so.
Good. That's good. And she knows what sex is.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, she definitely does. And I think she's also struggling a lot, you know, obviously with marketing and advertising and that's directed at tweens in particular these days. You know, she struggles a lot with that because she can see the sexualization of kids and the images that they're presented with, and she finds them quite disturbing. And she will say to me, like, even if we go shopping, you know, and she'll look at the clothes that are available for kids her age, and she'll look at me and say, well, you know, why would they wear something like that? The skirts are so short. And, you know, so she is quite, I think, struggling with her emerging sexuality, I guess.
That's very insightful, and that's probably a comment like that began, you know, 3 weeks ago, kicked off the first dream. You know, for Paula to be able to actually make those kind of comments is extremely wise and insightful for a child that age, and is exactly the kind of thing that your dreaming mind is likely to process once you go to sleep. You know, because our dreams are there to process our both our conscious and our unconscious experiences of the last one or two days. So if she's been feeling that, and as you say, struggling with it, then, you know, the job of her dreaming brain each night is to try to solve issues which we struggle with. So this will be, you know, one theme that will come up with her, and particularly because she said to you that she feels disgusting and disgusted by these dreams. So, you know, there's a similar feeling there that's related to her observations in waking life, where she's feeling disgusted by the marketing, you know, to the tweens. So she's, you know, I think one strong aspect is that her dreams are processing this, but there's much more to the dream as well. It's interesting that in the dream, the first one that you mentioned there was a female teacher out the front, and she was picked out of the class as a student. And it's not a teacher she knows in waking life. So we're really in this dream into symbolism of teacher and student, you know. So there's a sense there of that everybody in a dream can represent an aspect of yourself. So she's kind of struggling between, there's a part of herself that wants to learn and a part of herself that wants to teach. So she's kind of struggling with some lessons here about, you know, what do I take about life? What can I understand about life? And a lot of it's about the female side of herself, clearly. You know, it's a female teacher in the dream. Although there's a number of different men that she sees when she looks into your dream bedroom, the focus is still on you, really, in the dream. So this is a real focus on her female side and how she sees herself. But if you look at the first dream of the being brought out the front and having the sort of movie star kiss with the teacher, although Paula hasn't had any experiences of sex. She's probably had some experiences of kissing or movie star kissing because she's interested in boys, or at least she's been able to imagine that pretty clearly, you know, through watching movies and thinking about it and reading. And so that's an experience that's probably pretty close to or imaginable in a dream. And so for Paula, the movie star kiss is probably one of the most intimate acts that she can think about. And until you really got all your sex hormones in place, it is quite a yucky thought, like opening your mouth and sticking your tongue into somebody else's mouth. It's really it's quite repulsive until you discover, you know, other feelings about that. So it's a really good dream symbol for her to bring up, a symbol of being extremely intimate with somebody else. Now, the thing is, everybody in the dream really represents a part of ourselves. So any aspect of sex or close contact or hugging or kissing or embracing anyone in a dream usually refers to something that you're looking at bringing into your own life, some kind of quality that you're bringing into your own life. So if we forget about Paula just for a moment and give an example, if somebody else had a dream and it was either sex or an embrace or a kiss, whatever, with a person, let's give him a name, let's call him Tim, you would say, okay, what three words would you use to describe Tim's personality or approach to life? And the dreamer might think, well, he's very cautious, he's very intelligent, and he takes a long time to do things. And you'd say, okay, well, in the dream, you're embracing that aspect of yourself. You're thinking, well, you know, maybe I'd like to bring on board and bring very close into myself a bit more caution, maybe be a bit more intelligent about things, and maybe take a little bit longer to decide on things. So that's how you do it. You look at the person that you're bringing into your life or having close contact with in the dream, decide what they represent for you, and then say, okay, this dream shows that I'm actually trying to unite those aspects into myself. So in Paula's dream, what she's doing is she's perhaps uniting some kind of teacher, grown-up woman. The teacher's the person out the front of the class, and Paula in the dream feels really uncomfortable about going out the front of the class too. So this is like being center stage, being on show. And she even calls the kiss a movie-style kiss. So there's another aspect of being on show, being up front, being in the world's eye, so to speak. So her feeling is, oh, I'm at an age now where I'm beginning to bring on board, I'd like in a way to be up there and up front and in front of people and confident and on show and, you know, and having something to do in the world. But at the same time, this actually disgusts me. Like, I actually really don't like this. So the dream is a struggle between trying to grow into that role of, you know, leadership, being out front, being confident, but by the same token, her dream showing that she really, at this stage, is really quite disgusted and non-confident about that. And that kind of really reflects back in well, Lynn, with what you said about Paula's feelings about marketing to tweenies. You know, she's at an age 10 where all children are starting to think, oh, I'm actually going to be an adult one day. I'm not a child forever. I've got to decide how I'm going to be in the world. You know, what role models am I going to use here? And your normal role models are your mother, which is why you're in the dream, and your teacher, and she's got a generalized teacher in the dream. And of course, what Paula's realized is there's this huge role model out there in terms of all the marketing forces to tweens. And she's grappling with that. She's trying to work out, how am I going to be in the world? I actually want to be a leader. I've got every drive to be a leader and out front. But by the same token, I'm really struggling with that. I'm disgusted with that kind of approach. How are we going so far?
It sounds interesting because she is very much a leader. And she puts that across that she, you know, that she is confident and all these kinds of things. But I think that is almost like a persona she sets up for herself at school in particular, you know, this confident, nothing hurts me kind of thing. And it could be that maybe something else has happened in her small group, you know, that has rocked that a little bit. You know, so that could be, there could be a struggle there.
That sounds very likely to have picked up on that in the dream, and then, you know, for you to confirm, which of course I didn't know, that she does have leadership qualities, which is quite unusual in a 10-year-old. I'd say we're going along the right track. So she's got an inner drive, whether she was born with it or whether she's been nurtured into it by you to have a leadership role. And she's looking for how to do that and how she feels about it. And you're probably spot on. If you go back 3 weeks and ask her, that there probably was an issue where she was her confidence or her leadership she felt uncomfortable about it. The part in the dream where she then looks at you is really interesting, because what a lot of 10, 11, 12-year-old children go through, boys and girls, is often a series of dreams where their mother or father are killed, sometimes by themselves. And this is really frightening. And if you're a parent and listening in, you might want to know this, that your young adolescent children may be dreaming that they're shooting you, killing you, and they'd be feeling extremely uncomfortable about it and certainly do not want to mention it to you because they love you dearly. But what this kind of dream is doing is looking and saying, well, I'm going to be an adult now. Now, how am I going to be in the world? I've got to be separate. I've got to be independent from my parents. That's one aspect of killing the parents off in the dream. And another aspect is, much as we love our parents, you know, sometimes we want to be a little bit different from them. We want to be the same as some aspects of them, and we want to be a little bit different from other aspects of them. So that's another reason why we will kill them off in dreams. In dreams, the mother or father just represents the attitudes of your parents that you may or may not want to take forward in life with you. So when Paula is looking in your dream, Lynn, and seeing you in bed with various stages of undress and with various strange men standing beside you, what she's looking at is herself. She's taking a kind of objective step back, because she's in the dream, she's objectively looking in, and she's looking at, how do I want to be as a grown woman, particularly in areas of intimacy? This does seem to be important to her. What kind of role do I want to play? And it's almost like playing fit a different man to the woman role. You know, would I be this kind of a woman with this kind of man? Would I be this kind of woman with this kind of man? The man in the dream also representing a part of herself. You know, what kind of attitude and energy does she want in the world? Because to be a leader in a dream sense is a kind of male thing. It's like our leadership part is our left brain, is our the male part. It's like the yang as opposed to the yin. It's the part of ourself that goes out there into the world and does things. You know, our male side is doing, our female side is being. So the number of men that she brings into the dream, this is Paula thinking, oh, I could be that kind of doing, I could be that kind of leader, I could be that kind of leader. How does this sit with the female side of myself? And it's just kind of like playing around with ideas. But with all the clothes being removed, at each time is taking it down to a feeling of vulnerability and exposure. Because when you have a dream that you're naked in public, for example, it's usually a dream of, hey, this is the real me. Like, you know, everyone can see the real me, which is naked in the dream. And so she's also doing that as a leader. You've got two choices. You can be the kind of leader that leaves your real self at home and puts on a facade and puts on a mask. And you can have the better kind of leader, which is the real you, really out there walking your talk. And as you said, that's what she's looking at the moment within her smaller group. I think you said to me earlier that you felt that she has leadership qualities and she wants to be a leader, but she's maybe putting on a confidence that she doesn't really have. So I feel that part of the dream with looking in on you is her choosing what kind of role she would like to have as a leader, and also acknowledging the vulnerabilities around that. How does that sound?
And it's interesting too, because she mentioned to me that in that particular dream, the two closest friends that she has at school were with her. At the time, one of them not saying anything, but the other one asking her all the time how she felt about what she was seeing. And maybe that was like a kind of, you know, sort of looking at the relationship she has with each of those girls kind of thing even. You know, that one might be one who's kind of trying to push her.
Yes.
You know, to maybe even challenge her. Like she's this particular friend is a very good friend of hers, so there's nothing kind of nasty or bullying or anything in it. I think it's just she may find that this friend is someone who will help her develop, you know, like encourage her, and be one that is constantly questioning her, not just accepting, oh, she's, you know, she's enigmatic and, you know, all these kinds of things. So I'll just walk around going, you know, basking in her reflected glory kind of thing. The type of friend who will, you know, challenge her a little
bit. Yes.
So maybe that that was what that was showing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And she can get all the more feelings that she can name from the dream. You know, that one there. And how do you feel? Feeling challenged, feeling the struggle, feeling disgust. If she can pluck each feeling from the dream and look at it with her eyes open in a waking life and say, I need to explore these kind of feelings. And you hit the nail on the head there, Lynn, you know, beautifully, that the more negative or worrying feelings in our life are really there for us to acknowledge and then explore and then be challenged to grow from, you know. So I'd say that she's got a real potential gift for leadership, and she's struggling between knowing whether to put on a mask to be a leader or to be her true self. And if she can, and Paula, of course, I know you'll be listening to this podcast. Paula, if you can start to think in life now, you'll probably go through decades and decades of changing who you are, because you're obviously a wonderful person and very wise, and so you'll be changing and growing throughout your entire life. And that will mean that there'll always be a different personalities that you develop as you go through life. You'll be learning different things about life. You'll take different approaches. You'll constantly grow and change. And as you become a leader, you'll probably lead in different areas throughout your life. We all live very long lives now. You know, we don't get stuck in one thing. So don't be too concerned, Paula, about what you're going to lead in. Those things will be revealed to you. Be more concerned with knowing yourself at every stage in the journey so clearly, and challenging yourself when you do feel a bit worried, or you do feel a bit struggling, or you do feel a bit questioning. It's just challenging yourself and asking yourself wise questions so that you know very clearly where you're coming from. And I think the best advice that I and your mum and everybody listening would say, if you've got two choices between being a leader, and one as a leader with a mask on and one as a leader being yourself, no matter how vulnerable that may be, but walking your own talk, that's the way to be. Be yourself. You can inspire people far more by being yourself, even if you make mistakes, even if they laugh at you occasionally, even if you get it a bit wrong from time to time, because people actually love a leader like that because they can see themselves in you. So what I would suggest, Lynn, for Paula is a dream alchemy practice. Firstly, she probably won't be as uncomfortable about these dreams because she now will understand them a bit more. So that's good. The second one is perhaps to find a way. I think the best thing to do would be to, in order to help her through the dreams, would be to, yeah, if she, for example, if she had the dream with a teacher where she didn't like the full-on movie kiss in the dream, the thing would be to wake up and then to, while she's awake, do a visualization. That is to change the dream to a point where she's comfortable with it. So an example would be that she would say, okay, I'm going to imagine that the dream starts and there's the teacher out the front and I'm being called up the front, but I'm actually being called up just to tell a story. Now, none of this kissing business. So she gets up, she imagines herself coming to the front of the class and sitting down and just telling them a lovely story. She might imagine telling them a story about a dream, but she's just staying within her comfort zone for the moment and just visualizing herself being very comfortable up the front of the class in the spotlight, telling a good story. So it's really creating a better feel good ending for each dream, while also including in the rerun of the dream, the sense of leadership and the sense of being on show without the sense of, disgust. How does that sound?
No, that sounds good. That sounds really good. And it's also become apparent through this whole thing that you know, dreaming about sex or sexualized type things really isn't about sex at all. It's about lots of other things.
That's so right. And that's why I'm so thankful that you've come on today and that this has been the topic that's come up, because there are enough adults that worry about their sex dreams to the point of never mentioning them to anyone, particularly to their faithful partners, let alone the number of young children and young adolescents that are having sex dreams and same sex dreams when they don't feel that they're homosexual either. So, you know, there are so many issues that can come up and really worry people. And you're quite right. You know, these dreams are not about sex at all. They do seem like they're about sex, but just as dreams about murder and killing and death are not about actual murder, killing and death, so dreams about sex, no matter how wonderful or disgusting, are also not about sex. They're about what we are bringing on board within ourselves, what we are creating and what we are integrating into our lives. And our dreaming brain goes, oh, I know a really good symbol for that. It's sex or kiss. Oh, Lynn, thank you so much for sharing Paula's dream today.
No, thank you very much. That was really great. I'm sure she'll get a lot out of what you've said.
That's good. And if she'd like to send us some feedback later on, that would be great. And we can report it in a future podcast so that everybody can catch up on how she's feeling, what she thought, and what happened next.
Okay, that'd be great.
Thank you so much. Talking about what happened next, I have put up some comments from other people that have been on the podcast show on my website. So if you go to www.dream.net.au and follow the links, you'll be able to find lots of feedback from people that have had their dream, gone away, thought about it, and had some changes in their lives and been keen to publicly announce those so that you can follow up. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. There's so much more information on my website. So again, that's dream.net.au. And if you like listening, there's also my audio book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, which you'll find in the shop there. So thanks for joining me today. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and I'll see you next week for our next episode of The Dream Show.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.